Pascha Week is a period in the year where the Church relives hour by hour all the events of the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in his victorious crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. Each word he said and every action he did has meaning. Upper Room Media presents to you the Pascha Week sermons, explaining the significance of our Lord's actions and their meaning in our lives.
Ask the fathers to absolve me. I'll not take long time from you because as you promised to finish 8:30, so I have 15 minutes or so. I'll speak about this new covenant. What is the new covenant? It may be a good idea to understand what is a covenant. A covenant, before people used to sign papers, was by an act described in the Bible in two occasions in the Bible to show how a covenant was conducted between parties. They used to have a bull or calf or animal and cut it in two, put them on two sides, and the two parties that signed the covenant, not by signature, by the hand, by showing the people that are witnesses, they go in between these two pieces. And when they do that, they are bound to follow the covenant between them. Why an animal to be slaughtered? Because it was symbolic of the seriousness. And if I back off from my promise, maybe the other party will kill me, as this animal was killed. In the book of Genesis, this story was clear how it's done. When Abraham did this covenant with God, God told him, get animals, shatter them, two pieces, and then the Lord himself walked inside, in between the things. How? It was incense and fire. And then Abraham walked as well, and this covenant was done between them. And again, it was described in another place in Jeremiah. The Lord reminded people about they made a covenant when they passed through this slaughtered animal piece. Why is that? Because always a covenant was between parties that are almost equal, like two kings or husband and wife. But when it comes from God to humanity, it's a great, great humility on behalf of God that he reduces himself to make a covenant with people. And he did number of times. And all the promises or the vows or the covenants that were done in the past were something related to the earth. For example, Abraham will be a father of nations. Or with Noah, there is no flood anymore. But the new covenant that the Lord established on a day like today, which is Thursday, is something related to life forever. The covenant is very, very strange. Usually the covenant gives favor or gives benefit to either party. But what exactly the Lord benefited from this covenant? What is the covenant, the new covenant? The new covenant is that I will offer you my life, says the Lord. I'll give you broken body and shed blood. You take and feed on. And through this feeding, you'll grow and you'll live. You have no life in you, but through me you live, because you feed on me, and I am the life. I am the bread of life. So when you take me, when you feed on me, you live forever. And that's the covenant. There is no higher gift ever that anyone can receive more than that. And that we love him very much for what he offered. What did he gain out of that? He did one thing, that we become members of his big family. You know, God had a plan that the love in the Holy Trinity between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit was sufficient for God. But out of his extra love, he needed the family to grow. And he created man such that selected number of this race, human race, will join this family. Only the chosen ones will join the family, so the Holy Trinity is open to accommodate members by adoption. So we get adopted in the Holy Trinity, and we have a chance to live forever. But for this to happen, this is the new covenant. He had to make something. He had to take human nature. So as one of the saints said, that he took our nature to give us his nature. What's his nature? The divine nature lives forever. Life is in his own. So he has to give us something from his own, but taking what is ours, which is human body. He came, sacrificed himself to the extent that he broke his body and shed his blood and gave it to his disciples on Thursday and said to them, take, eat, and take and drink. Every time you shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup, something will happen to you. You'll remember me, you'll preach my death, and you remember me until I come. And that's the new covenant. But you have to appreciate it. How it is done. What's the benefit from him? How he reduced himself to that extent. What is this type of gift? If a person can give me a type of medicine that can extend my life 10 years, I'll be very appreciative. Imagine that the Lord is telling his disciples, you will live forever. Whoever feeds on me will never die. It's very hard to believe, but the Lord is true. He has been always true. He did that even before he was crucified. He did it on Thursday, and then he was crucified the day after. Why did he do that before his death? First, that when they see what's happening on Friday, they understand more. Second, it was not coincidence that I died, then take my body. No, it's planned. I break my body and shed my blood, and it is done to you in two identities. That may be the reason that Pope Shenouda insisted that we have Holy Communion in bread and wine, not mixed. The reason is that the shed blood to them is a slaughter. And he didn't understand fully, for sure. But he prepared them to understand something very valuable. You'll see it tomorrow, that you'll see me on the cross. You'll see my blood dripping. That every human body may have about 4 liters of blood. And you know, the Jewish way of eating meat has to be void of any blood. So it has to drip, has to be slaughtered. They never eat choked animals because the blood is therein. And they saw Christ dripping blood over the whole time on the cross. If anyone sits close to the cross, he'll see drops of blood running down from his body. And they saw that, my blood that's shed. He was capable to do it before the event, to show that this is something very, very spiritual, very deep. I can give you my body and my blood even before I die. I broke my body and give it to you. This is my body. Broke the bread and give it to them saying, take and eat, this is my body. Feed on it. The concept of feeding on it is not new. We all were fed from our mother's body. You think about it, we fed on her life. The child takes from his mother energy, life, calcium, or her milk. She offers something from her body, and she becomes weak out of that. She may lose teeth or hair, but that's love. That's why we always say that next to the Holy Trinity love, the mother love, a type of love that humanity understands. And the Lord said, it's me, feed on me, eat me. When people heard that for the first time, were disturbed, because this is 2,000 years ago where there were cannibals, people can eat human bodies. Then they thought that first thinking that came to them, will we really eat him? Will we kill him and eat him once more? And they left him, and he looked to his disciple and said, if you like to back off, back off, but you have to feed on me. He was referring to something much deeper. Every covenant had a sign to remember. For example, the covenant with Noah was the rainbow. So whenever he looks to the sky and sees these colors, then he remembers. The covenant with Moses, or Abraham as well, was circumcision. So when the person knows there's a sign in his body, then I belong. The sign in this new covenant is the bread and wine on the altar that will do. He ordered us, do this in remembrance of me. And he said, every time, this implies that we have to do many times. Every time you shall eat of this bread and drink of my cup, you remember. You remember the covenant and live on it. The maturity in spiritual life is this covenant. We may come to the church, we may follow the Lord because of the joy of being a member of this nice group of nice people. I may serve the Lord, I may enjoy reading and listening and singing, but the real maturity is this covenant. Am I in it or not? Am I ready to be in this covenant or not? Have I decided for this or not? What's required for me is the faith that I believe that is true, and I become a member to feed on him. What's meant by feed on him? He becomes to me the oxygen, the breathing. Some people, their relationship to Christ is very superficial. They just listen about him or hear about him in sermons and churches and readings, but there is nothing intimate that he becomes to me life. I cannot live without him. I suffocate without him. If he turns his face away from me, I die. I cannot live without him. That's the covenant. He becomes to me, you know, when the Protestant people say it's not eating the bread and the wine, they have a point. Of course, it's not complete point. The complete is both. The sign, the physical sign that we feed on him, and the spiritual sign, which means that I feed on his words, I feed on his teaching, I feed on the way he makes me grow. If this is not clear to me, then my eternal life is not guaranteed. It may happen on the last day, as we heard a few days ago, that he will tell us, I don't know you, because you are not similar to me. You didn't change your nature to become like me. You didn't feed on me. When we feed on him, we change. Our nature changed. We become more like him. We grow in his love and his care and his belonging to him, and out of that something can happen to us. It has to happen in this way, to see the joy in the offering, but it happened in a very harsh way. When I see him on the cross, after he did that covenant with his disciples, in the second day they saw the consequences of sin. One of the great consequences of the cross is to hate sin. Repentance is not only to stop sin, but hate sin. Sin to me is not attractive. because I see what happened to the world. You know, these things that show us on the movies about how the Lord was filled with blood, they're true. It's impossible to have crown of thorns and the face will not be covered with blood. It's impossible to be slashed with this number of slashing on his back without his back being bleeding to that extent. It's impossible not to cry out of pain when they pushed the nails in his hands and his feet. So what we see in the movies is true. And when we realize that, I personally cannot watch these movies. Every time I watch this movie, I change my eyes. But it happened. And it makes me really feel how silly I am to accept sin. How silly I would be that sin is attractive to me. If sin did that, as I say, it's the maturity, the spiritual maturity is this event, the covenant. But there was a condition which the Lord did, and it happened to us in the morning, which is washing the feet. It was a condition. The covenant cannot be complete without it. That's why when St. Peter rejected that the Master will wash my feet, he said to him, "This you cannot have a share with me." What? Why it's a condition? Because he cannot be in this family to feed on him if you entertain arrogance, pride, I'm better than others, I ignore others, I cannot wash their feet. You can't. So that's my part in the covenant. My part in the covenant is washing the feet. I understand it and I do it. I care. The instant that I don't care about others and I don't have any interest in washing their feet, I'm out of the covenant. I cannot feed on him. So this is the teaching of the whole week. This week is eye-opening to what's happening in us. So we speak a lot, you listen a lot, you come frequently to the church, but tonight, may the Lord open our eyes for this maturity, that we say to the Lord from the depths of my heart, I'll be in the covenant. I'll feed on you. I'll grow in a different way. I'll start understanding the mystery of washing the feet. From now on, even if Judas is next to me, I'll wash his feet. And that's the condition that I can continue with you. If I look in any way as if I'm not capable, I discuss from mistakes of others, then I'm excluding myself from the covenant. The beauty of this covenant is that the Lord is offering himself. There's something much, much deeper than we can appreciate or understand. He is offering his life. He is dying for us out of love. A type of love that is moving. When I know what is happening, when I remember my mom that was dying by offering her milk to me happily, with joy, that she's feeding me on the expense of her strength and health. This is symbolic of what the Lord, the deposit of this good family in heaven is the joy that you see in the church. If you are not having that taste of the joy of being among the brethren, then think again that possibly we are not prepared. Sometimes, especially consecrated people like new priests, when I say to them, "Are you happy in priesthood?" they always answer and say, "The type of love that I'm experiencing makes me feel how joyful it is." Some of the new priests say, "Will it remain like that? I remain all my life with this joy?" Yes, if you are appreciative of this, this is pre-taste of the beauty of being a member in the good family that the Lord will choose from the earth. We live on the earth. Some of us will be chosen. Some of us, unfortunately, will be rejected. But I can exclude myself from the church if I'm not accepting this condition of washing the feet. I'll be excluded if hatred will come in my heart, if lack of forgiveness. You know, the other Orthodox churches, on the eve of the Lent, the last Sunday before the Lent, they have a day for forgiveness. And I always say, I hope that one of the fathers will take this responsibility to revive it in the Coptic Church, because the Coptic Church has it in the readings. The readings of this day, which is pre the Lent, speaks about forgiveness. We should understand that. I cannot be a member if I exclude myself by not forgiving or hating or looking down or not capable to serve or not feeling about, I'm excluding myself. This is very valuable covenant. And thus the Lord made it clear that if you love anything more than me, you don't deserve me. When the Lord said that if you love even your own children more than I, you don't deserve me. Not that the Lord is selfish, but it's the truth. If you don't appreciate this type of love, how would you deserve it? How would you deserve that you live on a life eternal by the offering that the Lord is giving us? Because it makes us even accept martyrdom. Can even makes us accept anything from Him. His love is beyond the limit. When we always say that this is the week of love, understanding, the tears that many people of you are shedding during this week is the tears of love, appreciation of His offering. He offered to come, take body like me, reduce Himself from being the Son of God to be the slave of the slave, and wash their feet, live with them in tremendous tolerance, to gather as a chicken gather and chew under her wings. So the Lord did, accepting us. Let us never be unwise to receive from Him the warning that your house will be left destruction for you. On the contrary, say to Him, Lord, accept me. I appreciate what you did. I sleep tonight with eagerness to live the events of the cross tomorrow. All the time, all the readings, all the singing tomorrow is to appreciate. It's done in a perfect way in the Coptic Church. So the night is about the covenant. In the morning, exactly what happened to the disciple. They saw him shedding his blood, breaking his body, offering it to them with wonder, what's that? Until they saw that happening, then they enjoyed his company. We thank him for what he did to us. We don't appreciate that. We don't deserve that. Sinful I am, but I'm appreciative of your love, Lord. Forgive the past. Let it be a new start for me, that I be a member of your sweet family. Under the shadow of your wings, I enjoy the rest of my life on earth. And then after that, I believe you in your promise for eternal life in the glory of God. Glory be to your God. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.